So you're probably asking yourself, how to successfully grow a facility management company in today's digital age while still remaining profitable? You know that marketing should probably be in the mix, but you may not know the best approach, the newest strategies, or which digital platforms to market on. So how do you use marketing to grow your FM business today? That is a question, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Javier Lozano Jr., and welcome to the Facility Management Marketing Podcast.
What is going on, everyone? I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. If you listen to me at night, that's great. If you listen to me in the daytime, that's fine. I tend to record these podcasts in the evenings because I get done with my day. I have my kids put to sleep. And then I just kind of crank out, you know, a few of these, and that's what's going on. So I'm kind of batching this one as well too. So if you're listening to this, or if you're watching this in the video, and you're like, you're wearing the same thing, I know. I've got to be effective. I got to go into these batches and just batch them all out and then move on. So what I want to do next is talk a little bit more about this next episode. Why is this not charging? Charge the full. Is it doing it? It's working on it. All right. Anyways, so this next topic is why a facility management company should study direct response marketing. So let me kind of, you know, let's set this up first. So with my experience, a lot of facility service providers, a lot of facility management companies, a lot of facility maintenance companies, they don't have a marketing leader in their business. And when I say a marketing leader, I mean like a strategist that just doesn't know how to think big picture and how to map out like what the strategy is, but also knows how to do tactical things on execution. A lot of these IFMs don't have a marketing head in their company. It's typically going to be some sort of like marketing coordinator, marketing strategist, marketing intern. It's typically that. And I'm gonna be honest here. That's a shame. It truly is, because you're running a multi-million-dollar company, and you are treating finance as a business, as a business operations. You're treating operations as part of the business, as a business function. That's what I was trying to say. You're treating finance as a business function. You're treating operations as a business function. You're treating HR as a business function. You're treating sales as a business function. And then somehow like marketing gets kind of like pigeonholed somewhere. Like, well, we'll have them like organize some stuff and post a couple of things on LinkedIn and work with, I don't know, like, and so this is where, and I'm not trying to be rude when I'm saying this, I want IFMs to start looking at marketing as a business function. You need to have a marketing leader in the company, okay? Even if it's just one, and they need to be paid nicely because they're handling a lot. And that marketing leader, if you're listening to this, or if you're striving for that position in that company, you need to be very strong in like one or two areas that you're like badass, dominant. You need to have a very strategic mindset, and you need to be good at something really, really good that no one else in the company can do, not even close. Okay? And so I'm talking about this because I feel as though direct response marketing is one of those things that is extremely strategic and is a skill set that is very difficult to understand, do, execute. Okay? And if you know how to do direct response marketing, I think you can take your IFM to the next level. But I don't think a marketing coordinator or a marketing strategist can do that. Am I saying they can never do that? No. I'm not implying that. They need more experience doing it. They need more time doing it to get really good at it. Like, example, I ran a company for 10 years. Okay. I did a lot of marketing initiatives, everything. They're all very direct response driven. And I only got better at my marketing because I kept doing it over and over and over and over again. Okay. And then I went to the B2B space and I took that direct response marketing strategy and applied it to the B2B space and at CMI Mechanical. And it did very well to the point where people were setting up appointments with me. And my boss at the time was like, how the hell are you getting appointments left and right? I was like, I'm just asking. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, sending out these emails. They're all automated. They're automatic. They just go out and I give them a call to action and they do it. And he's like, this is insane. I've never seen this before. I'm like, it's not that hard. And the reason I was able to do this is because I spent 10 years writing, creating content, trying to convince people to buy my service. And direct response marketing is a very measurable thing. It's direct response marketing is learning how to copyright with the intent of selling. And then you measure that strategy, that direct response piece, you measure it and you decide to see if this is a, wow, this is great. Excuse me. Or you're like, hey, this didn't work. We got to shift. We got to, you know, pivot, go to the next direction. So this is what I'm trying to say is that, like, typically a person that's in a strategy position or in a coordinator position are going to be freshly out of college, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 years, not a ton of experience. And again, I am not knocking this. Like, I was there. I was that person. Okay. I might even call myself as the best direct response marketer out there. I'm not implying any of that. All I'm trying to say is that I think that if you had a marketing person that was like a director or head of marketing or whatever that is, that knew how to write direct response marketing, that was really good at copywriting, that can change your business. Because when you know how to write copy, that's sales at scale. So you might have a sales team of 4 or 5 people, but if your copywriting is like just like dialed in, you get 100 leads, maybe your sales team can't call them all. But that email or that sales letter that you send out, that is basically your sales team. So this is what I'm trying to get to, is that, like, if you can have someone on the team that owns direct response marketing, that owns copywriting, that owns sales copy, okay, that's what they're good at, you can set yourself apart from all the other IFMs out there. And so this is, if you guys are listening to this and you're offended, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm simply making an observation and commenting on it. And this might be divisive, and that is not my objective about this. My objective is I want marketing to be treated as though it's a true business function in the IFM industry. It is not across the board. Marketing is treated as a business function in SaaS companies. Marketing is treated as a business function in technology companies. Marketing is treated as a business function in, do you see what I'm trying to get to? Like, they're treated as a business function. And I feel as though, like, in the IFM space, that they're just like, well, let's just get a coordinator because it's cheap. So if you are that person that is a coordinator, I highly recommend that you listen to this podcast with open ears, because I'm going to tell you how you can get to a director, how to get to a senior director, how to get to a VP, and maybe in the near future as a CMO. Learn how to write copy really well. Like, be really good. And don't write like PR copy. I'm not talking about PR copy where it sounds professional. Because I can tell you this right now, sounding professional doesn't sell shit. You know what sells? Sales copy that creates pain, agitation, solutions, benefits, and then points to you. And if you know how to do that correctly with the right verbiage, the right type of tone, the right way of using examples, the right way of telling stories, if you can write sales copy, you will be moved up quickly and you will have a bigger responsibility, not just being a coordinator. And if you are one of those companies that does have a coordinator, I'm not knocking you. I'm simply saying embrace this, because this is what companies are doing. Like, I can tell you right now, like my role at CMI Mechanical when I was there for almost 2 years, I think, year and a half, something like that, I was able to get appointments with big companies, Dollar General, Anheuser-Busch, Qualcomm, Raytheon, 7-Eleven, Cushman & Wakefield. And it wasn't because I was hammering the phones. It's because I was writing good copy. From landing pages to blog posts to emails, all that stuff. It's because I had a strategy. And so what I want you guys to understand is that if you can get someone to come in here and know how to write direct response marketing, it's going to change the game for you. Change the game. So learn how to write copy. So you're like, okay, you've been talking about this whole copy stuff. Like, you know, what is it? Like, I've already said this. Sales copy is sales at scale. You know how to write sales copy, you know, and it's long and it's convincing and it hits all these pain points and all the problems, and you agitate it some more and you create the solution. You know how to do all those things. You don't need a large sales force. You still need a sales team. But if you're generating great leads, these emails that are going out to these leads, then all of a sudden, like, your sales team is just like closing the low hanging fruit, you know? So how do you learn how to write direct response marketing? It starts with reading books. It starts with reading books from these direct response kings, if you will, and queens. In this case, I unfortunately don't have any queens on here, but these are like the top guys that I look at as like the best in direct response. And so direct response marketing has a style, an intent, and it's measurable. There's like, hey, you spend $1,000 on this ad for direct response, like either mailers or a landing, whatever, but you spend $1,000, you send it out to 2,000 people. I'm just making numbers up right now. And you get like, say, 10% response. So it's like 200 people that respond. And then of those 200 people, 10% of those people actually set an appointment. That's 20 people. And then of those 20 people, you close 5. And those 5 generated you $50,000 worth of business. You spent $1,000. Was that worth it? Hell yeah, it was worth it. So you do it again. Spend another $1,000. Go to another list of 2,000 people, and the same thing happens over and over and over again. That's why direct response marketing is such a tactical but strategic way of scaling your business, because it's measurable. You can measure what it does. So here are some greats on how to learn how to write direct response marketing. One guy is Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy. Love the guy. I wish I read his books 15 years ago. I feel like I've missed out a lot, because I learned the hard way. I learned by reading other people's stuff, by writing stuff and screwing up. I wish I was more aware. I knew of him. I knew of the style. I knew of a lot of these things. I just didn't do it. And so I regret that early in my career. When I started my business, my excuse was always like, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to learn that. I don't have time. And that was a bad excuse in hindsight. Now I'm making time. Like, when I'm done with this podcast, I'm going to go upstairs and I'm going to start reading another book. Well, actually, I already started reading it, so I'm going to continue reading my book. But Dan Kennedy has written a few books. Magnetic Marketing is one of them. Great book. Again, Dan Kennedy, Magnetic Marketing. Another book that he's written is The Ultimate Sales Letter. I just finished reading that book, and that book was Flipping Amazing. I should probably do a podcast about that book and why, and talk about some certain speaking points and why it's amazing. So he had a group. He sold his company recently, and he had a group or business that he partnered with Bill Glazer's. And they had a business called like the No BS Marketing something, or it was like Magnetic Marketing No BS. It was probably called like Magnetic Marketing. It was called Magnetic Marketing. And then the group that he created was like the No BS something. But Bill Glazer was his partner. Dan Kennedy and Bill Glazer did a lot of like training, and Dan Kennedy did like a lot of sales copy for Pro. What's that acne company? Pro V or something like that. It was like an acne company. He wrote a lot of that stuff, like the commercials that you would see back in like the 90s and 2000s. He did those things. He wasn't in them. He wrote the sales copy for it. He knows what he's doing. You know, the dude has made millions and millions and millions of dollars. Like, he's good. Anyways, he partnered with Bill Glazer, and I haven't read any of Bill's books, and I need to. And they would train people on how to improve their marketing, and they had these conferences and all other stuff, and they had these groups and whatever. Russell Brunson is another person that is really good at direct response marketing. He's considered, to me, in my opinion, the best direct response marketer today. And I consider that because he's written some great books about, not necessarily just direct response marketing, but books that I reference to on helping, you know, the company that I'm at right now at RapMate, helping me with what I'm doing, like all that stuff. And the guy's a genius, and he's like Dan Kennedy's protege. And Dan Kennedy sold his company just last year, and he sold it to Russell Brunson. Russell Brunson bought the company. I don't know what he paid for it, but it was a dream come true to Russell. He's taken all this amazing stuff that Dan has created over the years, because previously Dan and Bill sold it to like a VC private equity firm, and then that company basically drove it down to the ground and just killed it. Okay. Russell Brunson is a genius. Like, when I look at what he's writing, I look at his landing pages, I'm like, man, this is really good. And some people are like, oh, it's just too long. I don't read all that. That's not the point, man. The point is that like the people that are reading it, that are engaged, they're going to buy it. But Russell Brunson is a great person to learn how to write copy from, because he gives you tools to understand. Another person is Jim Edwards. Jim Edwards is amazing. He basically is also a copywriter that cut his teeth doing, you know, just testing and trial and error, and then eventually started figuring it out. And he has a book that I love as well too, which I need to start reading, called Copywriting Secrets. And that book is powerful. Okay. Like really, really good. And so I really recommend reading Copywriting Secrets. And that book, essentially, he breaks down it and makes it almost formulaic, and gives you strategies on how to write headlines, how to get, you know, how to write bullets, how to take, you know, how to not to write about features and talk about benefits, like all this stuff. And it's really, really solid, solid content. You can buy his book for free and you pay for shipping, which is like 10 bucks, I think, $7. Totally worth it. Okay. Do that. And then another person to learn how to write copy from is this guy named Ray Edwards. His stuff is pretty solid as well too. I feel like other people that are like Dan Kennedy, Russell Brunson, Jim Edwards took elements from Ray's stuff. So this guy's kind of like a legend. So he has a book called How to Write Copy That Sells. And so I had this book in my library, my phone, for a while. See, it goes back to my excuses. And I didn't read it for a while. And then I was like, all right, I'm getting into this. I need to read it. So I finally read it and I was like, damn, this was pretty good. There's another one I think I have in here as a copywriting book. Let's see if I find it. I don't know. Actually, I probably don't have it. So those are the ones that I would recommend. And they teach you on how to write better sales copy. And if you learn how to write better sales copy, I mean, what I can tell you right now, let me confirm. Oh, here's another one. Richard Bayon, Words That Sell. So apparently I've only read 6% of this book, so I haven't read all of it. So I guess I should go back into it. And then another guy, The Copywriter Handbook, which is by Robert Bly. Haven't read that book either. So I've got some books to read. So, hey, I'm guilty. Like, I get into other books that I'm reading, and I'm like, man, I got to read this book. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to read this book. And then I'll read them, and I'll forget the other ones. So do that. You know, and the great thing about direct response marketing is that it's measurable. When you are writing stuff, you can measure it pretty quickly, pretty easily. It's effective. Like, all right, this, you know, this strategy that we're launching is going to be this. We're spending this much money, and it's going to be doing this, this, and this. It's going to see, and we're going to see how much money it brings back in for us. Like, how many leads does it generate? How many opportunities does it generate? Like, all those things, you can measure it. It's a great way of creating quick cash. You can build quick victories, quick cash. And that's a great way of scaling your business. You know, these guys, they all use the PAS approach, which is the problem, agitation, solution. You have a problem, you call it out. You agitate it and you provide a solution. Did you notice that I created this podcast just like that? Just this episode with a problem, an agitation, and a solution. It was a problem about IFM is not really being versed in the copywriting space and needing to actually get better at doing direct response marketing. I agitated it by saying, like, you know, hiring, you know, marketing coordinators and marketing strategists isn't really going to cut it for you. And, you know, kept agitating it that, you know, you need to invest in someone that's a strategic thinker that knows how to write copy. Like, you know, and then I gave you solutions on how to solve that. You know, like, that person needs to start learning how to start writing some more. They should be investing into this kind of stuff. Start reading some more books. Start writing stuff. Like, this episode was created in a PAS format. All right. And actually, it wasn't even intended to be created that way. It just happened to happen that way. Because as I'm looking at my notes, I'm like, oh, PAS, problem, agitation, solution. And I gave you solutions. Solutions on, you know, who to study, why to study them, what benefits you can get out of it, all that stuff. Those are all solutions, okay? And so that is the power of direct response marketing. Imagine if you were able to do that with one sales letter going out, or like a series of sales letters going out to targeted audiences, and creating interest, generating leads, creating opportunities, get on the phone with your sales team, and closing deals on and on again. So this is why direct response marketing should be a key piece of strategy for your business. We are doing that currently at RapMate as well too. And I recommend that you do the same as well. It's super effective, and yeah, that's pretty much it. So I hope you guys found this episode of interest. If I pissed you off, I'm really sorry. It wasn't really my intent, but you probably needed it anyways, because again, I'm tired of seeing IFM companies not necessarily, and if your company is not doing this, I mean, great, you know, I applaud you, but I'm tired of seeing companies not like take marketing as a business function. It should be a business function. Like, even when I was at CMI Mechanical, I'll call it out. My role there at CMI Mechanical, yes, I was the National Director of Marketing, National Director of Business Development. I handle all the marketing and sales. But even my marketing strategies were not really looked at as in like, oh, this is not effective. And yet it was, because we were getting people calling us that we weren't even able to serve because I was doing so much stuff for it. It was nuts. You see what I'm saying? So what I'm saying is, like, rethink this. Don't just put a marketing person in there that's like, you know, a person that's removed for a couple of years. Like, truly put a strategic person that's a director or head of marketing. Make it a business function. They have a chance to be at the table with the leaders to talk about strategy and direction and business growth. They deserve that. Okay. And if you guys are the coordinators, Don't give up. Don't give up. Learn how to write really good sales copy. You get good at this, sky's the limit. Okay? Get really good at it. All right? Because I can tell you right now, the 10 years that I spent writing sales copy for my company helped me get to a role I was at CMI Mechanical, which helped me get to the next role where I was a CMO for a marketing agency, which helped me get to this role, which I'm now the CMO for a tech company called RapMate. I'm not saying I'm the best copywriter, but what I'm saying is that my experience helped me write copy a certain way, and it does well. And not all of it does. Like, I'm not saying like everything I write is amazing. There's some things I write, I'm like, well, this was not good. And then we readdress it. We reapproach it. That's okay. That's the whole point of it. Okay? So hope this motivated you guys a little bit. Three things, always ask it. Follow me on LinkedIn, LinkedIn.com/Javier Lozano. I'm sorry, LinkedIn.com/in/Javier Lozano Jr. Review us on Spotify and Apple Podcast, and share this podcast with other colleagues that need to hear this, because the goal is to grow this industry. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Again, my name is Javier Lozano Jr., and I'll talk to you guys on another day. All right, guys. Thanks for taking a listen to our Facility Management Marketing Podcast Secrets. This is your host, Javier Lozano Jr. One other ask I've got for you guys is to subscribe to our email list. You can go to bouldermediasolutions.com/email. And that way you can get updates on some marketing trends that I'm seeing, some strategies that I'm executing. And more importantly, I'll be actually launching some webinars and training that's going to help your company use marketing strategies to essentially grow your business. We'll be doing some training, offering some courses, that sort of stuff. So you can always unsubscribe to that email list. It's no big deal. It's not going to hurt my feelings. This is more for facility management companies that want to grow their business by using marketing. All right, guys, thanks a lot and have a great one.